We talk of faith when we're up on the mountain. The talk comes so easy when life's at its best. I found that to be true. And then things come that change and challenge that. And it causes us to have to really stir deep within ourselves and find, okay, what do I have? I desire your prayers today. I want the Lord to bless these few moments. Maybe we could quickly bow our heads in prayer. Father, thank you for this time you've given us today. I pray, Lord, that you will make this profitable time to us, to our souls, to our spirits, so when we leave here, we can be encouraged to serve you, love you more. I pray, Lord, you will take these feeble efforts using a vehicle of flesh to convey thoughts. You will sanctify these thoughts, Lord, and anoint by your Holy Spirit to the benefit of the hearers, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I've written on the board, relief. Have you ever needed relief? Have you ever pushed to the end of your human endurance? Where you felt like if I had to take one more step, if I had to work one more hour, I don't know if I could do it. Thinking about this, my mind went to times many years ago in my teens in the hayfield. I know Brother Bobby can identify with this and remember it. We used to haul hay for Brother Douglas Hall. And he had crabgrass hay. And I know crabgrass hay was good hay. But that stuff was very irritating to fool with if you were a hay hauler, because it was almost like fiberglass insulation. It felt like it would just itch, get down in your clothes, and it itched, and it was irritating. So I can't say that we always looked forward to hauling hay there, because we knew that he had crabgrass hay, but it was what we did, and it was how we made a few dollars. So we did it. And we made our few dollars doing it. Several places around the community. We did that as boys when we were teens. I think even Bert can remember some of that. I don't really remember specifically his face there, but I do know that he's been involved. But I remember something that Brother Douglas would do. It's hard now to even remember all of the feelings that we had. I know we'd get hot, sweaty, tired. And seemed like he had some pretty big wagons. You could put a lot of hay on those wagons in the field. And we'd take them to the barn. And his barns were painted with a black roof. And that black roof would absorb that heat and hold that heat. But I remember one of the things that he would do. I guess he maybe would kind of watch us boys and watch our pace and see when we were starting to maybe lag a little bit in our energy. He would come up in his truck. In the back of his truck, he would have a cooler with ice cold Dr. Pepper. And he would have a bag full of honey buns. Now, you talk about looking forward to him pull up in the field or when you were headed to the barn to pull up, and you knew that in the back of that truck was some relief. You knew that in the back of that truck was an ice-cold Dr. Pepper in a glass bottle that you had to pop the top off of. And a good, sweet honey bun. And we would stop. And we would drink our Dr. Pepper and eat our honey buns. Now, some would cringe and say that is absolutely the most unhealthy thing you could ever put inside of your body. But I will say to you as boys, working in the hay fields, we were sure happy to get that honey bun and Dr. Pepper. And it was about the best thing we'd ever eaten at the time. We enjoyed it. It was relief. Not only was it relief and a little break to cool off and get something cold in your body, but it was also some sugar. And it would increase your energy level for a while. I know it didn't last, but it sure felt good going down. It was relief. And probably you can name things in your own mind that have been times where you felt you were just stretched to the end of your endurance, to the end of your ability, where you thought, if I have to do one more, if they send me one more message, if I get one more assignment, if I get back to the building and it's time to clock out and they say, you've got to go do this, I just don't know if I'm going to be able to do it. You've probably been in those kind of places where I've heard guys, and I don't think it happens much anymore because I think it would go against labor laws, work 24 hours straight. Now, that's not safe. If you're running equipment, it's not safe. Because we know what happens when we start getting stretched beyond our abilities, our endurance level, we start making foolish decisions. Not foolish decisions because we're fools. Foolish decisions because we are exhausted and not able to process information as quickly as we should be able to. Because we're tired. We're exhausted. So this morning, that's the backdrop for my little burden entitled Relief. And I'd like to turn to the book of Matthew, chapter 11. Now, I'd like to look at some scriptures here. Beautiful, beautiful words from the Master. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. These are the words of the one who knows our needs. He knows your situation today. He said to these people, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now I'd like to write a few words here. Come unto me, all ye that labor. Labor. Feel fatigue. All you that feel fatigued, all you that have worked hard, pardon my penmanship, grow weary, tired, exhausted. Labor with wearisome effort. Labor. Was he talking about physical labor? No. Christ didn't come to relieve us of physical labor. He said, come unto me, all ye that feel fatigued, all ye that have worked hard, all ye that grow weary, or tired, or exhausted. You've worked with wearisome effort. Come unto me if that's your plight. All you that are heavy laden, to load, place a burden upon, to load one with the burden. And then he says, what's he going to give us? I will give you rest. I will give you repose. I will refresh. I will cause you to cease from movement or labor in order to recover. I will give you rest. I'll let you take rest. I'll have you keep quiet, calm, patient, expectation. The Lord wasn't speaking to us about our physical labors, ceasing from our physical labors. But what He was speaking to these people about this day was, I have rest to give you. As I thought recently about these words of Jesus, come unto me, all ye that labor. Oh, folks, how many people in this world, not physical labor, but deal with the fatigue of the things that life has to throw. The emotional baggage that life has to throw. The upheavals in home that life has to throw. The upheaval in society, the upheaval that we have because of sin that is pressing and prevailing around us. Come unto me, all ye that feel fatigued. Come unto me, all ye that grow weary or tired or exhausted in dealing with the burdens that you carry daily with you. Whatever those things may be, Jesus says, come to me with those. Come unto me, all ye that labor, all ye that bear these things in life, and only you know what those things are that make you feel weary. Only you know what those things are that cause you to feel that you are tired, exhausted, and have put forth wearisome effort in order to try to make your situation better, only to find out that it is continual labor, just a constant unending circle, like the infinity, like the sign of infinity, it never stops. It just goes from one to another, from one to another. Jesus says, come unto me, all ye that are tired with your lot. Come unto me, all you who have just put forth wearisome effort and you find no relief. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, that have had things loaded on you, that have had burdens placed upon you, not by your own choice necessarily, but by things and decisions and choices that others make that you have to carry. Come unto me when you're worn out and you don't feel like you can take another step. The answer to this dilemma, folks, is the remedy to it all is Jesus. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you an opportunity to repose. I will give you a chance to refresh, to recover. Just like it was on those hot summer days when that truck pulled around with the ice chest in the back and the bag full of honey buns, and we could stop long enough to sit down on the ground or sit down on the wagon or sit down on the tailgate of the truck or wherever we might find. I don't remember even worrying about finding a shady spot. We just had a place where we could stop and sit down and enjoy a cold Dr. Pepper and a honey bun. And that to us at that moment, while it is only a temporal thing, But at that moment, it was an opportunity to stop for a little while and regather and regroup and recover. It was an opportunity to let your heart rate settle down just a little bit. It was an opportunity to let your body acclimate just a little bit again. It was an opportunity to have something cold inside of you to cool your body down a little bit for a few minutes' time. You knew you were going to get up and go back after it again, but you, at the moment, you had something to refresh, something to give you a chance to recover for a little while. Those things, folks, are something that we would look forward to in life, temporal things. And I know that we do today. We enjoy when we come to the end of a grueling work week. If you've put in many, many hours, and you come to the end of the grueling work week, and you realize that at the end of the day on Friday, when the day is done, I get to go home. I don't have to come back tomorrow. Now, I know that there are those who have worked 7 days a week, 12 hours a day for days on end. I say it's not healthy. I say it's not good. I say sometimes it has to happen. I realize that. But I say it's not the best thing for us. But I do know this, that we can find ourselves burdened with the cares of this life and the things that life has to put upon us, and we can find ourselves tired, exhausted, with wearisome effort from the things that have been laid upon us, loaded upon us, until we have come to the place where I don't think I can take another step. And Jesus says, come to me. Come to me. Because I have something to give you. I have a remedy for your situation. Come to me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I can't hardly imagine sweeter words to hear from the mouth of the Master than to have those words presented to you when you had been laden with cumbersome things in life and you knew that there was an opportunity to have some repose from it. Now I'd like to turn to Matthew, the 23rd chapter. Begin with the first. Then spake Jesus to the multitude and to his disciples, saying, the scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. All therefore whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do. But do not ye after their works, for they say and do not. For they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne, and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. Now the people of this day, the Jews, Gentiles, whomever it was within sound of Jesus' voice, could hear the things that He was saying, and some of the burdens that they were carrying had been placed on them by the scribes and the Pharisees. And they were things that they had determined to be necessary, but they were things that God had never intended for man to have to carry in his life. And Jesus saw that, and He was speaking to these people, come to me. Now, at first glance, it would look as though, in some ways, that this was kind of like Absalom. Absalom was saying to the people, when David was king, if I were king, I would do this and this and this for you. We have to be careful about these kinds of things. But Jesus, folks, was one who had the absolute truth and had the message and had the commission from the Father to relieve the distresses of people. Wearied minds, wearied bodies, wearied emotions, wearied spirits. He had the ability to make a change. The only thing that had to happen was we had to come to Him. He said, you come to me. An example that we've used many times over the years here was the woman who was taken in adultery in the very act. You remember how that all went. They brought her to the Lord and said, Moses and the law say that she should be stoned. What do you say? He said, well, whoever is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. Now, as that story unfolded, Jesus stooped down and began to write in the dust. I don't know what he wrote. I have no idea what he wrote. But the Scripture says that one by one, her accusers began to walk away. Jesus looked up and he said to the woman, "Woman, where are those thine accusers? Is there no one here to condemn you?" And I imagine that she was a little bit afraid to look up. But she looked up and looked around and she saw that they were all gone. And she said, "There's no man here, Lord." And he said, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." He said to her, "Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more." You see, you've had this wearisome effort in your life. You've been exhausted. You've searched for things and you couldn't find them. You've searched for them in misusing and abusing your own body. You've searched for them in ways that you can't find them. But she was brought to the Lord to be condemned to death, and she left a forgiven. She left one that was forgiven because she was brought to one that had the power to make a change in her life. He had the power to refresh her, to recover her. He had the power to take the load off of her. Those loads had been placed upon her through life. He had the power to remove those things. Folks, He has the power to remove them for you. Whatever you're carrying, whatever it may be, He has the ability to remove that for you. Let's turn to the book of Luke. Read another passage. This is a beautiful passage in chapter 7. Verse 36, beginning. One of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him. And he went to the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment and stood at his feet behind him, weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears. And did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee, which had bidden him, saw it, he spake within himself, saying, "This man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him. She's a sinner." And Jesus answering said unto him, "Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee." And he saith, "Master, say on." "There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence, the other 50. When they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most?" Simon answered and said, "I suppose that he to whom he forgave most." And he said unto him, "Thou hast rightly judged." And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, "You see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she has washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. You gave me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil, thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little." I say to us, folks, that phrase that the Lord uttered is something that we need to pay close attention to in our own lives. to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. Let's be careful. If you've lived a life that has been good, honest, upright, moral, and clean, but you have not accepted the offering of God's beloved Son as a Savior, you are in sin. And it is easy for us to assume and presume that because I have never gone out into the darkest recesses of sin, that somehow I'm a little better than this man. And Jesus was looking at this situation. He said, Simon, I have something I want to say to you. And he said about the two debtors, he said, which one do you think would love more? Who do you think he would have the most concern and care? He said, well, I suppose the one who was forgiven most. He said, you judge right. You have no idea what you just said, Simon. But you hit the nail on the head. You see, Simon, you're this upright Pharisee. And you look at this woman and you say in your own mind, if I knew who this woman was, I wouldn't want her near me. But she has come to me because she's tired of labor. She's tired of wearisome effort. She's tired of being exhausted. She's tired of having the load placed upon her with no opportunity for rest or repose. And she's come to me because she wants rest and repose. And I have it to give to her. And Simon, you didn't come to me for that. You came to me to be seen of men. You came to me to invite me to your house because you want to put on a grand feast. And this poor little woman, you never gave me water to wash my feet. You didn't kiss me. You didn't anoint my head with oil. You didn't do any of those kinds of things to me. And she hasn't stopped since I walked in the door. Or since she walked in the door. She loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, thy sins are forgiven. And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, who is this that forgiveth sins also? And he said to the woman, thy faith hath saved thee. Go in peace. You see, this is a beautiful story from the Scriptures that tell us what it means to be relieved. This is the fulfillment of Jesus' words when he said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you repose. I will refresh you. Thank God for Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Thank God for the one who is able to give us the things that we need to help us when we're feeling in desperate situations. Whatever it may be that has been placed upon you in life, whether you have done it yourself or whether others have done it to you, there is a place in Jesus to find rest and relief. There is a place in Jesus to have the load lightened. He said, I will do that for you. But you have to come to me. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. I will give you rest. Thank you for your time and attention this morning. God bless each one is my prayer. Pray for me. I want to make heaven my home. And let's remember that our help and our hope comes from one named Jesus. Amen.